You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
Hey, El Paso, this is Michelle Smallman, and now it's your turn to sound off on the UTEP game. Minor Talk with Adrian and Sal is coming up next on 600 ESPN El Paso.
All right, welcome in. We are live. It is Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box, and it's a full house. Wow, I guess it's that kind of big game type of feel, and it's a full house here in a River Oaks property, Schoolyard Sports Studios. Liberty defeated UTEP 76-69. It was a second half run by the Flames where they took over the lead. Miners led in this one, guys, for over 28 minutes, and the Miners, they had leads by, maybe 6 points, 7 points. They were never really able to distance themselves in this game. Liberty, credit to them. I mean, they went on that crazy, 12-2 run. They compounded, and they were able to build upon that in the second half. But it's the 14 three-pointer, Sal. That's the what you're going to hang your hat on right there if you're the Flames. They're a good team right there, Sal. And the Miners just weren't able to come out on top.
Yeah, and that's what good teams do when I don't want to say when you're playing bad, but when you don't have the lead, so to speak, for a good chunk of the game and you're able to stay the course and eventually utilize what you do best to send you home. You know what I mean? To clear it out. That's what they do. We got to see the Miners do that, so to speak, against FIU. It was kind of neck and neck until, UTEP just owns in on their strengths on Thursday to get the win. You see something similar with Liberty today. Only difference is they were trailing for a decent part of the game. And they're one of the top teams in Conference USA for a reason. What do they have, 21 wins now? And John said an interesting stat. It wouldn't have mattered today, but Liberty undefeated whenever their opponents score less than 70 points. So, yeah.
Pretty crazy. Yeah, Miners score 69. I heard that stat. That's a wild stat right there. And for the margin for this one to be what it was, I think that's a tough one as well. I think the Miners were hoping for this one to be close and hanging in the balance. I like what you said, Sal. Kind of reminds you of Thursday. The only difference is Miners were obviously able to go on that crazy run on their side on Thursday. This time around, Liberty went on a run, and they snatched the game in the end of this one. Welcoming aboard Zay Galindo, Alberto Ureta, George Guajardo. We got a full house here. Zay, welcome back to the show. You got a chance to watch this one. Give me your instant reactions. Miners lose for the third time at home.
Yeah, It's a tough loss. I think Liberty, they're a good basketball team, right? I think everybody kind of knows that. They've struggled in conference play, as has almost everybody in this conference besides really Jacksonville State, and even then they've had their ups and downs. So like we know, this conference, any given night, any team can win, right? It can be the worst team in the conference versus the best team in the conference, which is what we saw, the other day when Sam Houston State beat Jacksonville State. And, UTEP just couldn't close it out, right? I think they had two double-digit leads, if not, maybe 9-point leads in the second half. And they kind of just let them slip away. They need to play with the lead much better. And that's something they're going to have to work on going into March.
5,687 fans. Is that a good crowd in your eyes, Say?
I think it is. It's a pretty solid crowd, considering all that UTEP has been through, the ups and downs they've kind of put fans through, especially at home, right? They have three losses at home now, and honestly, I'm not expecting this El Paso crowd to show out like this, again, unless UTEP kind of has to really, really put it together on the road these next couple of games.
Yeah, and even with that, I mean, you go out and split Kennesaw State and Jacksonville State, or you sweep it. I don't know how much of a difference that'll make for the home season finale against Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, and that's a shame, right? I mean, this is a team who's probably going to win 20 games when it's all said and done in the regular season. And then the fans today, just under 6,000 when it was all said and done for this one as well. We got a lot of people on Twitter next, but before we get to them, and before we get to the phones, 915-505-6009, welcoming aboard George and Alberto. Alberto, your thoughts after this one right here. Miners just can't get it done in the end.
Yeah, it's a disappointing loss, and I think it's the way in which it happens that makes it even more, or hurts even more, right? 14 three-pointers, that absolutely stings. 6 of 9 from the three-point in that second half. That's absolutely killer. You just can't, you feel like you're trying to put things together there in that second half to try to make a run, and they're just continuing to extend that lead, and that's what's disappointing, right? And then on the Miners side, you just see a couple guys like Derek Hamilton and Elijah Jones with low minutes, where you know a couple guys you wish you could get more minutes in. And I think that this Liberty team was a great litmus test for this Miners team. It was a great team. These guys can beat you from deep, and I think this was a great test for the Miners as far as playoff team. This is as pretty close as it gets, and I think that they should look themselves in the mirror and did, really evaluate.
It did feel like that tournament type of feel to it. It had that kind of game. My only issue is when the game was in the balance, Miners kind of had some lulls scoring-wise, so that's what they want to fix here moving forward. You know, it was the likes of Peter, who had 23 in this one, 5 three-pointers from beyond the arc. You also look at Caden Matheny, who hit a trio of three-pointers as well. Colin Porter hits 2. It's all the hateable guys on Liberty, right? I mean, that's the thing that's crazy. The Liberty bench, the assistant coaches were absolutely ridiculous. My vantage point was like, just forget about it. Throw the game out the window. I wasn't able to see it because Liberty's coaches were just standing up left and right. And then the Liberty assistant coaches were chirping with the UTEP Spirit Crew. And I'm like, come, what is going on here? Coaches, can you have something better to focus on? And also, can you sit down? Like, everybody, the fans are trying to watch the game. I'm trying to watch the game. It was ridiculous. I can't stand this group right here, the Liberty group right here, but you got to give them credit. I mean, shooting 14 three-pointers when it was all said and done on the road for them and securing this win. Yeah, it stings. It should sting. If you're a UTEP fan out there tonight, you should feel like the Miners should have won this game because it was in the balance. Now, is it, you know, doom and gloom? Of course not. They have an opportunity next week against two of the top teams in Conference USA, Kennesaw State and Jacksonville State. Go out and beat those teams on the road and come back home and close out the season strong against Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee. George, you're the stat guy. Give us some stats.
Yeah, you went over Talion, I don't know how to say his name. Talion Peter, I'm sorry. 9 for 17, right? You guys went over that. He shot 53% today. His average, his season average is 59. I mean, when you can bring a guy off the bench to shoot 60% almost, I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, he had 5 threes. He was really the difference maker, right? Even then, his plus minus was 2. But Owen Aquino made, I think, the biggest difference, right? 13 points, 5 of 7. His plus minus was 14. He was sneaky with the rebounds, right? Total rebounds, 10. 4 on the offensive glass. He was the guy that kept giving Liberty life in the second half when they were, like, missing shots. You know, the threes weren't going down. He was there. And it was flashbacks of Hoag, right, from Jacksonville State. He just had more energy. He wanted it a little bit more. And so that's really the two guys that stand out on Liberty. And, of course, on UTEP's side, efficiency, it just wasn't there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that completely. Let's keep it moving now in 5505-6009. To the phones we go. It's Pablo who starts us off here on the show. Pablo, good evening. What's going on?
Yeah, hey, what's up? So I just really want to just talk about how we shoot too much threes end game.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, tonight it was evident, right? It just felt like way too many three-point attempts in the second half when they weren't going in. And when they were attacking the basket, at least they were getting a free throw out of it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like even with those threes, you got to get back on the defense or at least try to get offensive rebounds. Like, I didn't see any hustle on, like, the final 5 minutes of the game. There's, like, no energy left. Like, I didn't see any of that.
You know, the rebound margin, they lost this one, 39-31. So to your point, Pablo, you're right. They weren't making the shots. They weren't making the or grabbing the rebounds either. So tough outing here when it was all said and done. Any final thoughts, Pablo? I appreciate your phone call, man.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I just want to, you know, give a message to Golden to, you know, make their players hustle on defense and for every freaking basketball they see.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, man. Appreciate it, Pablo. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Tom is next with us. Then we got Brian. We just freed up a phone line, so if you've been trying to wait and get in on the show, now's the time to do it. 915-505-6009. Tom, good evening. What's happening?
Yeah, what I saw tonight was a team that was unselfish, and I saw our team turn into a very selfish team in the second half. And, you know, they took us out of our style of play, and it's not hard to do because we had more physical talent on that floor than those guys had. But they played a very, very smart team basketball game. They were always in position, especially for rebounding. And we were our defense. If you move the ball enough against our defense and you're smart, you'll break it down and you'll find holes. I still to this day don't understand why we don't do a 3-2 zone against a good 3-point shooting team. You know, you put Jones in, put Kalu down low, and then put, you know, whatever three of the guys that we have that are about 6'2" on the perimeter that can all jump and it can all have really good lateral movement. And this should not have happened. You know, I mean, Syracuse, Jim Boeheim lived on a 2-3 zone for 25 years and won a national championship with it.
That's his thing.
You know, so, you know, and then the other thing is guard the guards from the full 90 feet. Make their thighs freaking burn by the time you get down to the last 10 minutes of the game. They shouldn't have been able to walk. We've got six guys that all play guard. You know, just press them all game long. I mean, there's just no reason not to do that with all the talent we have. So, very disappointing. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice. We got to get out for the next game. You know, let this one slip away, guys. It's tough, you know. Don't play NBA-style basketball. Liberty taught you how to play basketball tonight. Look at the tape, watch what they did to you, and then make the corrections, and that's pretty much all I got to say.
I appreciate it, Tom. Thanks for weighing in, man. I appreciate you weighing in here on the show. 915-505-6009. Zay, I'll bring you in on this. I don't know if the answer is a zone defensively to stop the three-point shooting in the perimeter. Is it as simple as Liberty got hot? Is it as simple as the shots just fell tonight for the Flames? Or was there something different that you saw defensively that the Miners just didn't do?
I think, yeah, the cheap answer is a mix of both, right? UTEP was just off defensively, and Liberty hit shots, especially in the second half, right? They were capitalizing on hitting open looks. And, you know, with this defense, you're playing, you know, it's a gamble, right? UTEP's going to gamble every single time. It's like they send a blitz. You know, in football, when you send a blitz, you're gambling, right? Because if that quarterback makes the right read, you can give up, you know, 10, 20 yards every play. But you can get the sack. You can force an interception. That's essentially what UTEP does, right? They love to blitz the ball screen. They love to double and put pressure on you know, these types of defenders. And, you know, like the caller said, right, if a team is smart and patient, they move around, they're going to beat this UTEP defense. But that is not going to happen all the time. So I think it was a mix of both. You know, Liberty got really hot, and they're a good three-point shooting team as it is. 14-29, that's not going to happen every game, right? It's not going to happen every game. So it's not one where you kind of just say, okay, they outshot us, they're just better. But it is, you know, in a way that you're not really going to take too much away from this type of loss.
915-505-6009. Three turnovers only, though, in the second half for the Flames, Sal. They played near perfect ball as far as protecting it and not turning the ball over offensively on their side.
And it's kind of like a double-edged sword. It's one thing to take care of the ball, and I'll equate it to like a defense in a bit, but you take care of the ball, and then you score the ball. It's similar to when you're playing defense and you force a missed shot, but then you actually get the rebound, right? And they did, you know, both of those things pretty much all second half, and that's what powered them to the win. And you could kind of tell, even though UTEP had the lead, we saw the end of the first half and how it closed out. Good momentum for Liberty, but soon as they got the ball, just that determination that they played with, man, you kind of feel like, oh man, it's going to be the other way around in a couple of possessions, and that's exactly what happened.
Zay, back to you. What did head coach Joe Golding takeaways that you had from him post game?
Yeah, you know, he was very quick, right? It was not something, he didn't really want to talk heavily about this loss. He said it, right? They need to improve defensively a lot. The reason they lost, I mean, he gave the exact number. I couldn't tell. It was in the high 20s, almost 30s. These last two games against Liberty, the amount of threes that they've given up, right? And 14 tonight. And then, of course, when they played over there, they had a pretty high game. So that's really what lost them the game. That's what he said, right? They didn't force enough turnovers to kind of, you know, help with the fact that Liberty was doing really good offensive rebound. You know, they had 8 offensive rebounds. That's really good for a Liberty team. They're not a great rebounding team, right? This is not the greatest rebounding team that UTEP's going to see. So that's kind of disheartening that they got 8 on UTEP, and they won the overall rebounding battle by 8 rebounds as well. So they just didn't force enough turnovers to kind of subsidize all the threes and the rebounds.
Back to the phones. It's Brian who's joining us next. 915-505-6009. We've got one phone line available. After Brian, we've got Cedric. Let's go to Brian next. Brian, good evening. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Doing fine, Brian. What'd you think?
Well, it wasn't really that good from the shooting perspective. Now, I don't know what happened, but ever since he came back from his one-game suspension, Abon Bynum has missed so much. 3-for-13 on the field goals and 3-for-11 on three-pointers. That's just awful, like really, really bad. It makes you wonder how the team stayed along and played with the game so far, because of how we kept it close for a while until Liberty won on the streak. It's really embarrassing, not going to lie, but oh well, it is what it is. It's just not a great momentum booster for what's going to happen when we go on the road soon. And hopefully we can rebound from this, but it's not looking too great, in my opinion, with the shooting if this continues to go on. But overall, that's all I got. Shout out to Zay, by the way. You're a real G. Saw your contest today.
I love it. Good stuff there. Appreciate it, Brian. Thank you for weighing in. I'm not out on Bynum. I mean, come on. It's 2 games from a 1-game hiatus for Bynum. I'm fine with that. The 13 attempts, or the 11 three-point attempts, I guess that's where maybe you start to knock him a little bit, but they needed those. Some of those were late in the game, and yes, I do agree that maybe some were at inopportune times, and maybe at other ones late in the game. You didn't need the three-pointer. It kind of felt like a forced shot instead of one that they absolutely needed. Work it inside, try to get a bucket like that. That's where I want him to change when it comes to decision making. But Zay, I don't think it's a bigger issue.
Yeah, I think I'm really in between on this, because I mean, there's 3 or 4 times that Peter just absolutely had Bynum like lost, you know, off ball defensively. Bynum just, he looked a little flat, right? He looked a step behind tonight, and I guess that's to be expected, right? All props to FIU, but they're not going to give you that test that you need coming back from a suspension like Liberty did tonight. So I feel like we've been spoiled with Ahmad Bynum. You know, he's usually, you know, like a 5-of-7, 5-of-8 guy. The best three-point shooters are going to have games like this, and even though his shot selection was really, really bad, you know, we could be talking about next game, Ahmad Bynum going 7-of-8 from 3, so you take the good with the bad. Today was really, really bad for Ahmad Bynum, and yeah.
He's Casino Cat, Sal. You go to the casino,
hey, Boogie,
and you go out there and you gamble, and sometimes you're just gonna lose. And so I'm okay with it on nights where he's on fire, kind of like what Zay is saying. And on nights he's off, you kind of just accept that. You know, he is a shooter. It's not like he's gonna stop shooting in the middle of a game.
And also too, when it comes to one of the top 3-point shooting teams in Conference USA, that being Liberty, sometimes you're gonna have to play catch up, and in order to catch up and close the gap, you got to take some of those risks. They just didn't land tonight, man. And it was kind of all across the board, but except for Trey Horton, man. What a game for me.
I know.
But for Bynum, man, you want him to take those shots, especially when you want to try and close that gap. So I'm not too down on it. I think it'd be concerning if he goes out there and continues to have like a 3-for, you know, like a 3-for-9, 3-for-10, or whatever the case is. You want to see him somewhere in that 40% range. I mean, you guys said it best, spoiled with Ahmad Bynum. This is really the first bad look that we've seen from him pretty much all year. So we'll see how he bounces back, man. I'm excited to see what he can do, because we know that the potential's there, and it's really just that first sign of poor play.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Sal. 915-505-6009. Cedric's next with us. Cedric, good evening. What's going on?
How y'all doing?
We're doing well, Cedric. What'd you think of this game?
Hey, thanks for having me on. You know what? I can't believe these negative Nancys. Everyone's calling in. Everyone is a coach all of a sudden, like Tom. I can't believe, Tom, have you ever coached a day in your life? Probably not. what's this 2-3 zone or 3-2 zone? He didn't even get it right. I thought the guys played really hard tonight. They played really well. They did their best against a really good Liberty team. How about we just leave it at that instead of everyone becoming a coach all of a sudden? These guys played their heart out tonight. They just played a really good fundamental team. And Tom, wow, just stick to the game, my friend. Just sit down and watch the game. What are you talking about?
So you didn't like the zone talk. Cedric, you're not a fan of the zone talk.
They came out really hard and they played tough. They played really tough.
You don't like UTEP trying to go for a zone, huh? You like the man-to-man defense they're throwing out there.
I think if you shoot a zone against a team that's shooting 50% more, I think, was it tonight from three-point range, that's not going to change anything.
It's true. They're like killing it from beyond the arc. Cedric, good stuff, man. Any final thoughts as we wind this one up?
Well, I really hope El Paso comes out for those last two games and hope these guys do well on the road. And, you know, just do your best and see, let the chips fall where they may. I think Golding and the team are doing a really good job.
All right, man. Cedric, we got you down for it. Thank you for giving us a call here, man. Appreciate it. 915-505-6009. That is our telephone number as we continue. By the way, just for the record, I don't think they should go for a 2-3 zone or anything like that. I just kind of feel like a lot of people call in for zone defense and stuff like that, and UTEP's never done it. So why do we have to assume that they're going to be just good at zone defense? They've never done that. They've never practiced that. So I'll just say I'm not completely dismissive of it. I just don't think we've seen it. So you can't just say it's going to work here for UTEP if we haven't actually done it or you haven't actually seen UTEP run a zone defense in a game. Going over to Jacob. He is next up with us. 915-505-6009. Full phone lines. Leon will come after Jacob, and we'll also have King Eric joining us as well. Jacob, good evening. What's going on, man?
Hi, Adrian. I just feel like we have way too many talented guys to be losing at home like this. And if we're not going to be able to win away games, we're going to have to come out strong like at home and win. But they're just very inconsistent.
It is, man.
The problem.
Jacob, you're a smart UTEP fan. It was the New Mexico State game that was the blowout that kind of made you wonder, wow, what happened? The Jacksonville State home loss was tough too. But tonight, you know, Liberty's kind of like one of those teams that fans hate. Like, I don't think a lot of people like Liberty at all. And so for the Miners to lose tonight, it is disappointing. They are inconsistent at home.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, good stuff, Jacob. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for giving us a call, 915-505-6009. Man, Jacob's been calling all season long. I appreciate him, man. He always gives us some great takes. I appreciate him in a big way. Next up, it's Leon. Leon, good evening, man. Good to hear from you again. What's going on?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Hey, shout out to Cedric for really staying positive around this team, and I did think that they played pretty hard. And, man, I shouldn't say this because he's still a young kid, right, but does anybody hate Matheny more than me right now? I cannot stand that guy.
Well, wait, you say Matheny, but like I think we could all have a player draft on this team. Like I'll take Colin Porter as my number one pick. Zach Cleveland's also in it. Owen Aquino's in that conversation too. Brett Decker even. I mean, he wasn't doing anything, but he was trying to clap and cheer and go crazy on the bench. They had some hateable guys on their team, man, to your point.
Matheny's just a dagger, man. You could see it that he wanted the game, and they really shut him down. I got to say the defense was excellent, you know, in the beginning because they were cutting off the lanes. They weren't getting their bounce passes. But what's disappointing is this, and you know, Cedric, you can say that we shouldn't be coaches, but everybody has an opinion. The one thing I saw that UTEP did even last was zip Powell a little bit, and somebody said it earlier. Physically, we were bigger. Our guards were bigger. There was no reason why we couldn't have post. There was no reason why the ball shouldn't have gone in more. That's on Golding, and that's on the plan, all right? Because you could have slowed the game down a little bit even more than they did, getting the ball inside or having your guards post. They did it with Zid Powell last year, and just tonight, we didn't see it. The discrepancy on the fouls, you can say what you want, man, but look, you don't get the ball inside. And if you look at the numbers in the paint, the story was right there for you to win the game. Physically, we should have overmanned these guys with no problem. And again, I hate Matheny. You guys have a good night.
Good stuff, Leon. Appreciate it, man. Guys, do you have a most hated Liberty player that anybody wants to chime in? Go ahead. Mics are hot.
Yeah. For me, it's Talon. I can't stand him. I can't believe he shoots almost 60%. Peter.
Yeah.
And you're right, Adrian. Almost the whole team is hateable. I don't want to sound like a hater, but almost the whole team is hateable. But it's Peter for me.
Maybe we're too much of haters here, Zay. Maybe we need to appreciate Liberty a little more.
No. I think out of all of them, I think for sure Porter and Matheny are at the top two. I think really everybody else is kind of acceptable. I really don't like Cleveland. I really like Talon Peter. I don't even know how to say his name. There's a weird way to say it. He missed six layups today. He for real missed more layups than he did three-pointers. He was really, really that's just a hateable thing, out of these guys.
But, to your point, 8 of 20. That's what Liberty was today for layups. 8 of 20. Miners, by the way, 10 of 18. Miners got to finish those layups and just get those done. Sal, you want to chime in on the hateability?
I'm going to go even further. I'm looking at the coaching staff. I hate Joe Pierre III, and I hate Derek Johnston.
If those were the guys who were standing up by me, then count me in.
And you know what? If they're not, they're guilty by association. I don't care.
I like it. Good stuff,
them.
Guys. Good stuff.
It's coming from jealousy.
Oh, man. Ray on our app. Miners went into panic mode and tried to match Liberty's three-pointers. They should have stayed strong and drive the ball. Stick to their game. Against NMSU, UTEP played hard and confident. This is coming in from Lucomotive Miners. I texted in during the week that I didn't want a good crowd because we would lose. Once I saw an okay-ish crowd, I knew we were done. Yeah, I hear you, man. Let's go to King Eric. He's next with us. Saw him at the district today. Great to see you earlier, King Eric. And it's great to have you on here on Minor Talk. What did you think of this one?
Hey, Adrian. It was great to see you as well. Finally good to put a face to a name. But, yeah, I'm with your last caller on this one, too. I can't stand Matheny. I can't stand that guy.
It's funny, man. They're a team that just they went out there and they silenced the crowd. I mean, that has to be a great feeling if you're a road team like that because they silenced the crowd that was really into it. The crowd was in this game.
It was. It got loud at times, but Matheny, when he hits a three and he does his little, he does something and it just makes me so mad. I don't know why.
Yeah, but, it was a tough one.
Liberty. They're that annoying team that's they're good, and you don't know why you hate them because they're just good. It's weird. But your last caller also was talking about mismatches and trying to dominate. All game long, Corey Camper, who's 6'5", was matched up against Colin Porter, who's 5'10". And the entire time Camper was on him, he did not try to drive his way. He didn't try to get double teams. He didn't try to get fouls. I think that's what made me mad from this game, because the defense played so good. They held them for so long. Matheny had 2 points in the first half. I think Cleveland was basically non-existent the first half as well. That's what made me mad. Matheny hitting those two threes with 5 minutes left. I mean, that was the biggest turn that the game took for Liberty. I mean, it's frustrating.
Yeah, it was, man. I'd say, and Eric, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. I'd say for this one, for the Miners, it's frustrating because the Jacksonville State game, they had it. It was in the balance. The Miners were in this game all the way through. They led for 28 minutes. Go out and close the game. I mean, it's like the New Mexico State game. I loved how they played in that one on the road. They led from start to finish practically in that matchup right there and didn't really look back. That was what I kind of expected tonight in the out of the first half. We kind of saw that, and then going into the second half, that's when momentum kind of shift a little more, and Liberty was able to close this one out when it was all said and done. Back to Twitter and X, Trolley Dodger checks in on the show, and by the way, we've got some phone lines, 915-505-6009 if you've been trying to weigh in. Trolley Dodgers, they shot us out of the gym. We didn't get into foul trouble to earn the freebies, gotta drive it in more to get those fouls. Frustrating. It was right there for us to move in the top three. Pinky, disappointed with another home loss. Shouldn't lose at home. Hashtag Miner Talk. David Castro, when are we going to put together a complete game? It seems like every game we have droughts offensively and defensively. And of course, another loss in a big game at home. Bring back George Banks and Antoine Gillespie. Sorry, Antoine Gillespie. I shouldn't even, shame on me for mispronouncing his name, man. All-time great. This is Andrew at UTEP Miners Basketball 17-8. When I die, I want the UTEP Miners to be in my funeral so they can let me down one more time. Man, terrible, terrible. Oh, man, that's awful. Tristan Pence, give Liberty credit. They out-toughed UTEP. The Miners got into a three-point shooting contest and lost. The 10-33 rally cry doesn't matter much if the bench coaching is bad. Golding has to find a lineup that can execute better in the second half of games. Chuko Wayne, knowing that Liberty's a top three-point shooting team, our perimeter defense, lack of it, allowed the Flames to come back and seal it. Disappointed that our coaches didn't adjust. This is coming in from actually, we got a couple other ones. This is from our pal Chi-Town Miner. He checked into the program as well. I can't find this this tweet my way right now, so I'll have to find it in here in just a second. But as we continue, 915-505-6009, here it is. Bad loss at home from Chi-Town Miner. I'm not going to flip out since we all kind of knew the know that only the tournament matters. But UTEP kind of let up after having a steadied a large lead three quarters of the game. Hoping for a road split this coming week at Kennesaw State and at Jacksonville State. Hashtag Miner Talk. Hashtag the way Sal pronounces butt. Hashtag if you know, you know. I don't know what he's talking about there, but shout out to Sal. Maybe it was something else. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I said a lot of stuff. I got to see what it is. Go back to the air check. We'll see.
Yeah. El Paso Visuals Deportivos. Not sure how this game would help, but can we please get Hamilton to wear contacts or sport glasses? Not sure if anyone has noticed, but he's constantly squinting on the court. That's not good in sports. Any eye docs in El Paso want to donate contacts and goggles? Hashtag Miner Talk. I don't know about that. Rudy Marin, Miners not reaching the bonus in the second half at home is crazy. Conference USA ref strike again. But I go back to some of our other callers, Rudy. You got to drive into the basket in order to warrant these calls. Alberta, they just didn't attack the rim enough in the second half trying to draw some of those fouls.
Yeah, I think that's really what disappoints in that second half. When you need points and you're chucking up threes, they don't go down. Well, yeah, that's what you want them to do. Drive into the lane. Maybe you'll hit a layup, and maybe you get a foul, and you'll go to the line. So that when you don't do that, when you're down and you keep chucking up threes and they're not landing, that makes for extremely frustrating basketball, and it's not fun to watch.
Okay, the other post to get to is Little Badger on Twitter next. Can't win them all. Really need to fix the scoring droughts. It's a good point about just can't winning the, you know, not being able to win them all. I mean, the tough part to that, though, you lose to Liberty at home, you lose to Jacksonville State at home, and those are the top two teams so far in CUSA. So let's do a CUSA check-in, guys. This conference right now, like we've talked about, yeah, on any given night, these teams can beat up on each other. Jacksonville State had a tight game tonight. They ended up winning by two when it was all said and done, really close against La Tech, 70-68 on the road, a clutch road win for the Gamecocks. They are 10-3 in the conference, 18-8 overall. Liberty 21-5, 9-4 overall. Who's the better team, Zay?
You know, I feel like at full strength, Liberty did have a big injury earlier in the year, and that's why they've kind of fell off a little bit at the beginning of conference play. But at full strength, I'd take the Flames. They're just a really good team, and I think UTEP fans saw it tonight. I mean, they have the two little annoying guards. Like, if you've seen the ESPN 30 for 30, everybody hates Christian Laettner or something.
Yeah.
Liberty's just full of Christian Laettners, like at the mid-major level. Not play style wise, just hateability style wise.
And, okay.
And these guys get the job done every single time, and I'd take them in a conference tournament game. I would take Liberty over, you know, anybody in this conference.
Wow. Sal, would you like to jump in on this? Who would you take? Liberty, Jacksonville State.
You know what? It's interesting. I want to echo what Zay said. If we have to go team-wise, just full-on team, Liberty. When they're firing on all cylinders, which is what we saw, you know, in the final, 40% of the game or so, that's who they are. And they can, you know, outrun anybody out the gym, outshoot anybody. They're going to wear them down just by running up and down the floor. But if I have to pick, you know, a team with two dogs who's you have to save the world, I'm going to go, who is it, Max Kellerman. I want Iguodala. I want Jerron Pierre Jr. If I am anybody at Conference USA. And you know what's crazy? Is he's not even the true leader when it comes to Jacksonville State. That's Q House. I mean, when we look at Jacksonville State across the board in Conference USA, look at some of the clips where they're winning these one or two possession games. The camera is on House majority of the time. He's going to send it home or he's going to make the right play to get Jacksonville State the win. So, oh man, I'll say this though. It doesn't really come down to a full team sometimes. It just comes down to, you know, situations and who's going to win it. I'll take Jacksonville State in that regard.
Wow.
But it's very close, man.
Okay, I'd say Jacksonville State Liberty is like the tier one of CUSA right now, whatever that tier one looks like. I'll just say tier one to win the regular season, okay? Tier two CUSA teams. Here we go. Middle Tennessee, UTEP, and like it or not, Kennesaw State. They are in this conversation. I'm going to throw La Tech in this conversation because 6-7, you know, they're still a team who could beat you on any given night. I'm going to throw them into tier two. So that means Middle Tennessee, UTEP, Kennesaw State, La Tech. Any objections by anybody over here? Do we like this tier two? Does anybody else need to be in tier two right here in CUSA? Anybody?
I think we should trim tier two.
You don't like this.
Yeah, I think the tier two for me is really just going to be. I think Middle Tennessee's tier one.
Oh,
I'd say Liberty, wow. Middle Tennessee, and
Jack State. Okay,
and then I think in tier two it's UTEP. I think after that Kennesaw State
and La Tech.
I don't want to put La Tech in tier.
You don't
two.
Believe them. I don't believe in them.
I guess. It's just they're such a predictable team, right? They need a different dimension to them. They need someone other than Bacho. Because if you shut down Bacho, I mean, Sean Newman, he's going to get 20 turnovers, zero assists. Like, the guy can't do nothing without Bacho. He can't score. Yeah. And
At some point, you got to start winning games.
Yeah, you know, and there needs to be more. You know, I need to see more offensively from them. And then New Mexico State and Western Kentucky, I mean, those are two teams that can really, really play, but They just can't put it together, right? They have the talent and they just can't seem to win two straight games, right? It's a really weird conference, and I feel like that's why they belong in tier three.
Okay, let's do it. I like how Zay outlined it. I'll check with you on this, Sal. So Zay suggested an amendment to tier one: Jack State, Liberty, Middle Tennessee in tier one. Tier two: UTEP, Kennesaw State, and that's it, period. Then tier three: New Mexico State, La Tech, Western Kentucky, Sam Houston, and then tier four, which is no chance of winning CUSA, FIU.
It's so. Oh my goodness! It's so interesting too because Sam Houston's 3-10, but they reel off a sweep against two of the tougher teams. One being the number one team in Conference USA. When you do that, I can't put you on at the very bottom. You're close to it just because of what you've done overall. But if trending matters, so to speak, then yeah, Sam Houston's there. FIU just throw any conversation about them anything higher than tier four. As far as tier two, it's tough, man. But now I'll stick with Jacksonville State and Liberty there.
Okay.
With Middle Tennessee, they're close to it. You know, they're definitely a fringe tier one. But kind of to Zay's point, and I'll ask you guys as well, Zay would say it's Middle Tennessee to kind of break away from it. But who is the best fringe tier one team who's in tier two? Is it Middle Tennessee, who's proven that they likely can be there? UTEP, who we know what the potential is? Or Kennesaw, who's just so raw that this is, in my opinion, the most athletic team in Conference USA.
Yeah, and it might be Kennesaw because they can lose like they did to Sam Houston State, but they could beat quality teams in this conference as well like they did at Jacksonville State. So it's a good question. It's a really good one. 915-505-6009, that's our telephone number. If you've been trying to get in on the show, give us a call right now. We can talk a little UTEP hoops here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Interesting. I mean, this league is going to be a pretty fun finish when it's all said and done. Just two more weeks of basketball, guys. That's the sad stuff. That's the sad stuff right there. But yeah, I'm shocked that, George, we're almost done and we're almost here at the finish line.
Yeah, this is it, right? The home stretch. We have, what, a road game stand, right?
A road series next week and then a home series.
And then one last road series, right? So what is it, six games we're at here?
Yeah, final stretch.
This is it, man. This is the home stretch. And like you all have said all year, right, and the callers have said the same thing, right, it's going to matter come tournament time, right? But, yeah, these kinds of losses don't necessarily fill you with confidence, but anybody can go down. I mean, Liberty might not even make it to the championship game, right? Yeah, I mean, the same odds as UTEP will, I would say so. We're going to see how this ends up being.
Okay, this is coming in from Felipe Candelaria Jr. Some reason this team is playing better, or for some reason this team plays better on the road. I mean, they play like it's house money and nothing to lose. At home, they seem uptight and forced, extremely talented, and really think they should have two or three more wins at this point. I mean, I think that's pretty easy to say. It's also, on the flip side, they could have had two or three other losses. Been in a lot of close games here recently, and especially like when the game is kind of in the balance, they've been in a lot of those as of late as well. Hey, our telephone number, 915-505-6009. King Eric, is Ahmad Bynum coming back down to earth? I really don't think so. I know people have said this. Look, he didn't play against New Mexico State in the game against Florida International. He hit a pair of three-pointers. Tonight he hits three, but he attempted 11. That wasn't great. The game against Middle Tennessee was 1 of 4 from beyond the arc. Against Western Kentucky, 2 of 6. Right now he's shooting 45% from beyond the arc. Still solid. It wasn't what he did at the start of the year, but he was absolutely like absurd from three-point range. You can't always expect that out of any shooter, even in the NBA. Like you don't expect that of anybody. So let's be realistic about expectations for any kind of 3-point shooter like that. I still think Ahmad Bynum in a single season is giving UTEP something they've really never had from beyond the arc as a consistent perimeter shooter. So I'm gonna bet on the long haul for Ahmad Bynum. I'm okay with games like this where he's 3 of 11 because like he did against the win against Liberty on the road, he can hit a game winner. He could be that guy. He can be the person who's going to hit 3 three-pointers off the bench. And that's who Ahmad Bynum is. He just wasn't that tonight. He was 3 of 11 and struggled when it came to efficiency from beyond the arc. 915-505-6009, our telephone number. I'm going to shrug this one off. Anybody want to hold Ahmad Bynum a little bit more accountable after today's loss? Anybody here?
Yeah, I feel like I would hold him a little more accountable just because the effort defensively, it's just I feel like sometimes it's not there, right? And you saw in the New Mexico State game when KJ Thomas was called upon, when Baylor Hebb was called upon. I mean, those guys made differences in that game on the road in a hostile environment, and they just looked the team looked smoother, especially defensively. So I just want him to kind of take upon that defensive role a little bit more. And this shot selection when you're not taking a three is insane. Like sometimes some of his shots are just insane when he's not shooting a three. He needs to be a little more selective with that, I feel. But he's Ahmad Bynum, right? Because eventually those threes are going to fall. And
true,
I feel like you shouldn't be too critical of him. Like I said, we've been spoiled. But at the same time, if Otis Frazier had a game like that, like everybody would be on Otis Frazier,
yes,
right?
So
we can't
right.
We can't treat him out. I'm not going to treat him any differently just because he had one bad game.
True. There's a double standard right there. And it's like you want to just be assumptive and say, oh, well, it's okay. He's going to be fine the next one. But you're right. You got to hold him accountable to a point of saying you got to be better defensively a little bit too. I like what you had to say there, Zay. Back to the phones we go. It's Milkman next. Milkman, good evening. What's happening, man?
Hey, what's up, gang?
Milkman, what's happening, man? It's good to hear from you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you now, Milkman. Go ahead.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, I'm obviously a little irritated with this game. They just hit a wall in the second half. I mean, they couldn't throw it in the ocean. They weren't, you know, you guys were talking about it, how they weren't even working it in. And yes, the refs did suck. There's no doubt about that, but you can't blame this one on the refs. They got to learn to play with the lead. I don't get it. I've seen them do it before, you know, but God, they just hit a brick wall. And is Matheny, is he the little guy with the hair?
Yes, yes he is. Yeah, okay. Yes indeed.
Yes. I can't stand him either. So I think everybody is in agreement on that. These guys are the new BYU. Like I know we're not going to be in the conference with them much longer, but yeah, they're pretty easy to hate. And you know, BYU was good as well as these guys are too. You know, I'm not going to take that from them, but they are definitely easy to hate. And I just wish they could play with the lead better. And I don't know, guys, it was bad. It was bad. We really should have won this game, and they just choked in the second half.
Yeah, they did. Milkman, where do they go from here, in your opinion? It's Kennesaw State and Jack State.
Well, here's the thing. I know my comment the other day seems really stupid now, but again, about Conference USA being more than a one-bid league. And I certainly don't think they are. It's just, like I said before, that, you know, we need to stop that talk of how we only expect to get one bid. But that was my only point on that. But it's, you know, I mean, it's a bunch of mediocre teams beating up on each other is basically what Conference USA is. At the beginning of the season, it did look like they were going to be really, you know, a really good conference. But now they're just all kind of just beating up on each other, and I'm not sure who's going to win. It could be anybody. I mean, at least for the conference tournament, anyway.
Yes, you know? Yes. I mean, that's the crazy part, because even with a school like Kennesaw State, they've got so many young guys. Adrian Woolley might win first team all conference when it's all said and done. He's going to win CUSA Freshman of the Year, no doubt about it. But he's one of my favorite players to watch. And when it's all said and done, he might end up being like a top player in this conference, or might be a first team all conference player, and could get hot 3 games in 3 days and win the league. Just like that. Or maybe a player like Zach Cleveland just shoots lights out in the course of 3 days, and you see guys like Matheny and guys like Porter hitting big shots, and then the Flames just get back to the NCAA tournament. So to your point, Milkman, yeah, I could see a lot of different teams wearing the cape of CUSA tournament champions right there. I appreciate the phone call as always. Zay, give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I agree with the fact that this conference, everybody's going to beat up on each other in the regular season, but I'm looking at, you know, Jacksonville State, I'm looking at Kennesaw State, and I'm going to take my bold prediction now, and if it comes back and haunts me in, you know, in March, then so be it, right? Save this audio clip. I feel like this is just another Sam Houston State from last year.
Wow.
Like this, like
semifinal
bounce out. Yeah, semifinal bounce out. I just have more trust in a Liberty. I have more trust in a UTEP. I have more trust in a Middle Tennessee. When it comes to, you know, a really, really game in March in Huntsville, you know, 2 minutes left, it's a 2-point game, I'm not putting my trust in Woolley. I'm not putting my trust in Jerome Pierre. I'm sorry. I'm putting my trust in a guy like, you know,
Justin
Cleveland.
Porter, maybe.
Porter, yeah. You know, I'm putting my trust in a guy like Otis Frazier, right? So that's just my opinion. But, I mean, like we've seen all year, anything can happen any game. So I can't wait. I can't wait until Huntsville comes. And it's going to be one of the most exciting, hopefully, it's one of the most exciting tournaments in America.
Well, it could be a very competitive one, that's for sure. And I'm excited for that in a big way. 915-505-6009, guys, as we start to wind it down here on the program. For any late calls here on the show, give us a call, 915-505-6009. We'll get you right on and into Minor Talk, just like Milkman. This is Joe Chacon. Miners probably go 3-3 to end the season. I'll take 2 of those wins to end the year, going in hot for the CUSA tournament. 4-2 is very very easy but would take drastic improvement to defensive play against easy layups. Hashtag reppin' from El Chuco now, get this. Hashtag George of the UTEP jungle. Oh my goodness.
Love it.
He got the hashtag. George got his own hashtag of George in the UTEP jungle.
I'm going to remember this forever, Joe Chacon. Thank you.
I can't believe that one right there. He's done it again. Albert Chuco, Adrian is my bro, Sal's my pal, Zay all the way, and now George of the UTEP jungle. Oh my gosh, Joe Chacon, you're ridiculous. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for weighing in on the show. Guys, I guess let's do it. We've done this way too often, but I guess let's do it again. I've got them beating Kennesaw State, losing to Jacksonville State, beating Western Kentucky, beating Middle Tennessee, beating Sam Houston, and then losing to La Tech. So I like 3-3 to finish out the season at 20-11. So I like that record right there. I'm going to stick with that one right there as we got a line ringing in. Zay, give me your final record prediction. Six games left. How many do they win?
Yeah, I'll go 4-2. I'll take the optimistic side. I feel like UTEP, this is weird to say, but they really need to be better defensively. When a team slows them down defensively in the half-court defense, they need to be so much better, right?
Yeah.
Just playing, you know, simple one-on-one, man-to-man basketball, they need to be better. And I feel like they'll be able to do that, right? And they're going to snag one on the road, and I feel like they beat the La Tech. I feel like they beat La Tech, and they're going to lose a game they should win, right? And maybe that's the Sam Houston game on the road. Maybe that's, you know, the Kennesaw State game coming up. They're going to lose a game that we expect them to win, and they're going to win a game we expect them to lose. That's just how UTEP has played all year. So, yeah, I'm going to go 4-2.
I couldn't do math, so I did 4-2 as well. So, yeah, because I had a win against Kennesaw, a win against Sam Houston, and winning both the home games. So I've got 4-2 as well. Alberto, where are you at?
Man, this is hard, and I hate to be this guy, but I do think they can go 2-4 in this stretch.
Okay.
I think
that's not bad.
Jack State's a great team. Kennesaw's a great team. And, you know, Sam Houston, they're getting hot at the right time. La Tech, they're no one to push around. They had a great game today against Jack State. They competed all the way. So I think that everyone's getting going towards the end, and there's no room for error.
Okay, I don't like the word great for any of these CUSA teams yet. Not even Liberty. George, where are you at?
Yeah, I'm with Alberto at 2-4. We talked about it before we started Minor Talk, and I mean, I don't like being the negative Nancy. I know callers aren't going to like it, but yeah, 2-4, they look like a 19-win team, right? They're trending down in every statistical category as the season progresses, defense especially, and
but
offense.
But they're still up there with turnovers and creating turnovers.
Yeah, yeah, and they forced 11 today, but obviously the turnovers stopped at around like 9 minutes. They didn't get a single turnover, I think, after that. I'll have to double back on that, but and I'll get the answer for sure. But everything is going downwards, I say, statistically, and so yeah, this looks like a 19-win team. I don't see 20 wins, but I do see them closing out the last two games on the road going into the tournament with W. So
okay, Sal, go ahead.
Oh man, it's tough. I can't make up my mind whether they'll go 2-4 or 4-2, so I'm going to go down the middle. I'll say 3-3.
Like
right
it.
At
okay.
It. I'm going to have to alter some of my predictions from earlier in the year for obvious reasons, but going into the season, I felt like Western would be a tougher go than Middle Tennessee. That's obviously not the case now. Middle Tennessee's you know, right up there. They're a top three team in Conference USA,
right.
But I'm going to flip it around. I'm going to say, ooh, you know what? I think they'll lose both games on the road. They will get the win against Western Kentucky at home, and then I think they'll win the last two games against Sam Houston and La Tech. But realistically, man, out of the six games, five of them, at best, they're coin flips. I think La Tech, who if you would have told me this going into the year, hey, to close out the season in the final six games, La Tech is your best chance to win, I would have said you're crazy, but that seems to be the case here. So although Sam Houston is, what, 3-10 in league play, are a lot better than their record indicates, give me 3-3 to close it out.
Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. You heard from us. Well, we would like to hear from you now. Hunter is next with us. Hunter, great to hear from you, man. What's going on?
Not bad, man. I kind of forgot half of what I was going to say while I was listening to you guys.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. We were distracting you. Give us your thoughts, man. It was, you know, this is, where are you on the hate scale for all these Liberty players?
I couldn't stand Matheny since the first time we played then.
The hair.
I think it's just, poor guy, man. He's enjoying himself out there, and I think that's what I hate the most, man. You know, he nails a big shot and turns around, and he's smiling, having the time of his life, and that's what gets to me more than anything. I don't know why.
The hair flip and the smile. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not even his fault, man, you know. But, yeah, I thought it was hilarious that Sal said the coaching staff, some of those guys, that was classic. Man, you know, the difference in this game, okay, and I agree with what you said earlier about you can't describe any player, any team, or any coach in this league as great. They are all mediocre. This is not a great league. There has not been anything great about basketball since Derek Character years here, so there's no greatness around here. You know, let's not throw words around, don't make any sense. But anyway, I think, you know, the difference in this game, it's such a small difference when everybody's so evenly matched between winning and losing a game. Sometimes it comes down to one big shot, one big possession that just turns things, and that's what happened here. I mean, it was a very evenly matched game. And the big difference at the end, which was weird, is UTEP took themselves out of their own game offensively, and their shot selection, they were taking more difficult shots for them at the end, versus Liberty went to their bread and butter, and they took their shots at the end. So that was the difference in the game, is UTEP went away from what worked. I think the first time they played at Liberty, I was shocked at how many layups Liberty gave up. I think if you guys look that up and how many points UTEP got in the paint that game, I mean, it was like they were doing it at will, and I was like, man, this Liberty team really can't defend. And in the first half, UTEP was being very intentional about taking the ball inside, whether they were driving, whether they fed Derek Hamilton, who had a very solid first half, or anybody else down low. You know, they were trying to intentionally go at the undersized guard. And in the second half, when they went on that drought, for some reason they just completely abandoned it. It was really unusual. And
benched their bigs. Like, they went small. Did you notice that, too?
It didn't make any sense, you know. And it's the same old, you know, hey, the weird substitution pattern. And I don't know what they see in practice. None of us do, so I mean, you got to figure Golding's doing what's best for him, but the difference was at the end, Liberty got the shots that they wanted, and UTEP didn't. For whatever reason, they just completely went away from it, and they just start forcing certain things, and there was no rhythm to it. It was an ugly end of the game offensively. It wasn't the players' fault. It wasn't anything. It was just the difficult shots for some reason they were going after it. Can you guys explain the total abandonment of the inside game when it was effective early in the game?
Yeah, I think my explanation would be guys like Ahmad Bynum got too three-point happy in certain stretches of the second half. And maybe that's too unfair of an excuse, because it was other guys. It wasn't just him. He was among others who were trying to come from behind and hit the shots to get the crowd back into it. I think when you had guys like Horton making them from beyond the arc, it gave the other guys this kind of like green light justification of saying, okay, well, I could take that shot. I could go out there. I've got that green light to do that as well. Instead of going out and driving down to the hoop and scoring inside the paint, I think that's where their game was, Hunter. I'm kind of scratching my head wondering why they abandoned that right there and trying to work it inside. Even Kalu, I loved him the last game. I thought, you know, the 14 points, and in this game, it wasn't a lot of plays. They didn't draw a lot of plays for him. They didn't go to a lot of Derek Hamilton down low in the second half. I mean, only 9 minutes for him, only three off the bench for Elijah Jones. Those guys aren't going to get going with only 12 minutes combined.
Well, I don't know who made the point earlier. I mean, you got a whole committee, a panel of people there, so, you know, it's hard to remember who said what. But for me, the only, you know, the tournament's up for grabs, and that includes for UTEP. You know, everybody, we want to be down on UTEP. It's easy to happen after a loss, right?
Yeah.
But just like they can lose to anybody, they can beat anybody.
So that tournament is anybody's for the taking, right? It's who gets hot, who executes, who plays their game at the end, which if UTEP does, unlike today, they'll be okay. But the only thing that is kind of concerning for me was this was about the point last year that, remember, none of us thought they were going to get to 20 wins, and then they just started clicking, and things were trending up. And someone over there said things were trending a little down right now, and that's true. So that's the only concerning thing is last year was kind of the opposite. It started off kind of like, man, where are we going? Even league play started off kind of what's going to happen. And then they got that one road win, and then they started kind of catching fire versus now it's like, man, we're losing at home. We split on the road last time. You know, what are we doing? That's the only concerning thing for me.
Yeah, and I hear you. I appreciate the phone call, Hunter. Thanks for weighing in. It's the stringing of wins together, consecutive wins together, Zay. I think that's what they're looking for. And I feel like what George said is, you know, some of the parts are not looking good right now. I don't know if, for me, I'm ready to make an overarching claim about this right now. I just wish that this team, up to this point, could find the consistent winning under their belt.
Yeah, I mean, you want some of the, like the New Mexico State win, you want that kind of win that kind of just catapults you forward, right? That gets you into consistent winning, and we just haven't seen that, right? UTEP will take one step up, two steps back. Two steps up, one step back. Like, it's not, like you said, it's inconsistent. And, you know, I feel like tonight they played good. People forget, I mean, this is the fourth time UTEP and Liberty have met, like, in a calendar year. Like, they play each other a lot. Like, these two teams know each other. Joe Golding talked about it, you know, on the coaches show, you know, on Tuesday. I mean, they guard Liberty a certain way, right? And eventually Liberty was going to make that sort of adjustment. They play them a certain way. And the way they play them, we've seen it. You can go back into the matchups. Kevin Calhoun and Derek Hamilton just aren't going to be on the floor, you know, the way they play them defensively. And obviously that blew up in their face, right? They gave up 14 threes and they let them shoot 29 total. But, I mean, Liberty made adjustments of their own, right? Aquino was really, really good down low. Cleveland and Aquino. I mean, UTEP, you want them to throw the ball deep there with Camper and Matheny. I mean, you saw how many times, you know, Porter came in to help.
That's a good point.
You can't really do much, right? When you're about to turn over the ball, you got two little 5'9 guys just snapping at you.
Very active.
Right? You make adjustments. Liberty made adjustments, right? You feels like they just went away from it. Not really, right? They made adjustments. Liberty did the right thing defensively. They played their game defensively, and they forced UTEP to take outside shots. It really wasn't UTEP saying, oh, we're just going to shoot our way out of it. Liberty made the defensive adjustments that they needed to do, which they failed to do the past three games that UTEP had won, right? Eventually, Liberty was going to get this one out, and I'm not making, you know, like, excuses for Joe Golding and his crew. You got to find a way around that versus taking contested threes, but at the same time, you got to give Liberty credit. They made the correct defensive adjustments, and I just wanted to get that off my chest because UTEP still outscored Liberty 34-26 in the paint. Like, they didn't go completely away from it, but Liberty made the adjustments that they didn't make the past few games against UTEP.
And they wanted that. You know what? It's almost like they force UTEP or dare UTEP. Hey, continue to shoot those threes. You're going to be wide open. Continue to shoot those and attempt those. Back to the phones we go. It's Rick from the West Side. Rick, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my call. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing great. What about you, Rick?
Oh, frustrated. So frustrated. Was at the game, and, you know, I was yelling from the stands, and I'm sure everybody is. I hear a lot of callers talking about the shooting, and I'm with you. I'm with them. You know, I felt, in my opinion, I know Bynum's a volume shooter, streaky at times. I really feel when you combine poor shooting and bad, I think they lost on the rebounding boards today by like 11 or 10, I think, today. That's a bad combination. And, you know, and then a lapse in defense, I think they were getting back cut most of the second half. And I just sit there and I'm thinking, these guys are up. They cannot play with a lead. I don't know if I'm just overstating that, but I just feel when you have a lead, you got to lock down. And I just feel nothing against Golding. I feel he got out coached in the second half. I just feel like, Liberty made the adjustments they had to make, and UTEP just could not adjust. They couldn't adjust. They thought shooting was going to get them back into it. And bless Bynum. I love him, and I won't say the word hate, but I'm just like, God, that guy. I feel like he shot UTEP out of the game today.
Yeah, and you're gonna live with him, and you're gonna sometimes die with him shooting those attempts, right?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. He's our favorite player when he's going on a streak. But then tonight, there was a bunch of fans. Just I felt bad for the kid. I was like, you know, he's really trying his heart out, but defensively, he just couldn't. There was a couple of lapses there. I thought Hebb did a great job on defense. I forgot his name, number two from Liberty. I felt that he was getting under his skin. Hebb was really pestering him.
Yeah, that's Peter.
Yeah, and, you know, Hebb was really pestering him. I thought, that's what you need to do. But, again, I question the substitute packages, and I'm sure we all do, and I've heard some callers questioning. You all say it. So let's just hope they go on a little mini run here, go into the tournament hot, and get to that championship game. But it's going to be a tough battle this year, I think, as it is every year in conference tournament.
Yeah, you can't take it for granted. You can't take the run that they had last year for granted, and you can't take how the seedings will kind of shake out either, too. So good job, Rick. Appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number, 600-ESPN-El-Paso on Twitter and X, and 600-ESPN-El-Paso .com as we are winding things down here on the program. Liberty defeats UTEP 76-60. Did we find answers? I don't really know if we did or not. I think we did a good job of assessing the next couple games, though, guys. Let's do this. Let's give our hot hand of the award, of the game award. And I'm going to give it to David Terrell Jr. again. He's going to win this one thanks to our great friends at Win Supply El Paso. Get this stat line, guys. 10 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 turnover, and 3 steals in 37 minutes of action. I just think he's been playing some excellent basketball as of late. David Terrell Jr. is the hot hand of the game, brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. Check him out online, windsupplyelpaso.com, for all your air conditioning needs. Check out the Find a Dealer tab online at windsupplyelpaso.com. Sal, are you good with that? David Terrell Jr., a very active night, winning the hot hand award.
Extremely active and proving yet again in another game, right? This is a three, four game stretch where he's been really dominant out there and you know, displaying his you know, just that command, his presence out there. It's to be felt. So, no, a great game from Terrell, and one of the more trustworthy guys. I mean, going into the season, that's easy to say, but when you watch it, if you're watching a UTEP game for the first time, you're like, hey, number five, he's one of their best players out the gate.
Zay, you haven't had a chance to talk a lot of Terrell lately, so go ahead. You just give us what you've noticed or what you've liked from him during this stretch as of late.
3 steals, 7 assists, 1 turnover, not to go, you know, 10 points, 6 rebounds. I mean, he's a stat stuffer, you know, stat sheet stuffer. He's a point guard. And, I mean, if you just watch, if you're a box score watcher, like, you used to be able to be like, what is this guy David Terrell even doing? But now you can't even do that, right? Now you have to respect.
The numbers are backing up the play.
Now you have to respect David Terrell. You see the difference that he makes defensively, offensively now. He's really just turned into one of the best point guards in Conference USA. And he deserves an all-conference spot.
You know,
I think he deserves an all-conference spot, and I feel like the coaches, you know, the voting, I feel like that could reflect that, because you try and game plan against a guy like that. He does so much for the team, so just a David Terrell appreciation segment for me. Don't take any of that for granted, right? Don't take any of that for granted, because I feel like other college coaches could easily catch a hold of a guy like this, and this is a guy who can be on a tournament team. This is like he has the ability and the intangibles to be like an elite 8 point guard type of guy, like a championship type of guy, a Tristan Newton type of guy. So don't take it for granted. Hope he stays for his whole UTEP career, but you just never know.
You never know, and I don't even know if that's fair, right? Like, to ask somebody of that kind of caliber of play. Like, I think Otis Frazier hitting the 1,000-point club and being kind of integrated, or once it's all said and done, thrown into the, you know, UTEP, I would say the UTEP 1,000-point club, you can talk about him as maybe the best player in this, like, 5-player. He's in that argument, best player in the last 5 years or so, half decade. He's in that conversation, along with guys like Sule Boom and Bryson Williams and stuff like that. that. But for David Terrell Jr., he's just a little different. Like, he's, of course, younger, and he's going to have his career trajectory is pretty high as that point guard. I'm just looking forward to seeing what he can accomplish in his whole career. So to wonder if he's going to stay his 4 years at UTEP, I don't know, maybe a little early to say anything on that. But at the same time, let's see what happens. I really like what we've seen from him as of late. Our pal Sidelines put together the if CUSA ended seedings right now, UTEP would play Kennesaw State as a 4 seed, and Kennesaw being a 5 seed in the quarterfinals of the CUSA tournament. So, you know, Sal, does seeding matter? That's my question to you, because I just feel like CUSA, you just got to get within the top 5 right now if you're UTEP.
You know what? I'll throw both at you. In the grand scheme of things, we know any team can get hot and look impressive enough to win the tournament. Now, I'm not saying it's a double bid. It's not a two-bid league, but we could see two teams who look like they can make, you know, at least get a win in the tournament. We might see that out of two teams this tournament. But I do want to say this, though. We can flip it around and say, hey, yeah, UTEP is 4th place in Conference USA. But out of their 7-5 record, Adrian, they're 6-2 against teams underneath them. You know, and they only have they're 1-3 now as it stands against teams above them. That being Jacksonville State, Liberty played twice. They split, but Middle Tennessee the other one. So I mean, hey, if you want to start to I don't want to say prove yourself, the record is the record, but if you want to make more people believe in you, so to speak, you got to be able to nab a win against Middle Tennessee and or Jacksonville State in this final part. So something to think about.
Yeah, most definitely. Guys, I think we've kind of pinged around a lot of different topics. I think it's time to wind this one down here on the program. Appreciate everybody chiming in on the show, calling in, tweeting into the program as well. Kennesaw State, Jacksonville State, we've kind of already given our predictions. But guys, following the loss, it's 76-69 to Liberty. Just final takeaways. We'll start with you, Alberto, and then we'll go to you, George. Go ahead.
Miners can't come out like this in these final 6 games. I think they need to come out a lot better and put together a good product.
Okay. Simply said. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, as we see the rise of David Terrell, he's really taken on a bigger responsibility because we've kind of seen a few guys kind of disappear, right, a little bit. Not disappear, but they certainly have not lived up to, I guess, the expectations that they set earlier in the season. Corey Camper, I know he's dealing with the ankle, still probably a little bothering him. I think Terrell has taken kind of that leadership role from him and doing it all right. The 6 rebounds you talked about and then the 7 assists. Devin Barnes, another tough shooting game, 1-for-6. So I think it's just time to unleash David Terrell. I think the David Terrell, Otis Frazier offensive game, right, might be the answer that they need, especially when they get into these lulls in the second half where they can't get a bucket. So I look for that, and we got to keep feeding Kevin Kalu, right? We talked about 9-1, right, when he scores 9 points. Just get him 9 points, guys. He had 4 today. Get him 9 points, and I think that's the best chance to win.
Okay, good stuff, George. Let's go to you, Zay. Give us your thoughts. Going into next week, UTEP now loses at home for the 3rd time in conference play.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but I just want to see this team bounce back. Finish games better. You know, I feel like in that 10 minutes, 10:33, right, they need to be better from 10:33 on. And,
okay.
Yeah, I just want to – real quick, just use my time for some shout-outs just to some other people. You know, Eastwood Girls Wrestling, 6A State Champions.
Oh, nice.
Shout-out Eastwood.
Let's go. Good stuff, Zay.
Bel Air, Sydney Davis, back-to-back state championships
wow.
for her in wrestling. And then UTEP's Nisha Berger, 22-3. In
school. She broke her own record, right?
She broke her own record. She was the
track
world lead in the whole world for the 200 for about 12 hours.
Man.
She got that taken. But right now, number 2 in the world, number 2 in the NCAA. She'll have a chance at a national championship. So just want to give a shout-out to those group of wonderful, amazing women.
Yeah, Naisha Berger, man. She's a killer in track and field at UTEP. I'm glad you mentioned them, Zay. And big shout-out to wrestling. I love it. Sal, let's go to you. Let's wind it up.
Yeah, no, what you want to see from UTEP is something positive. Continue to take care of the ball. You know what I mean? They only had 6 turnovers to their credit. They forced 11, albeit a lot of that was first-half stuff. Don't get me wrong. That's a positive that you could take away from it. And, you know, you're a team who's been shooting pretty much all year. Don't change your identity just after a one bad performance. You got to live and die with what you do best.
You know, that's
in my
a good
opinion.
Point. That, yeah. You know, I really like that point. So much was said today on this show about, oh, you know, be better on shot selections, be better and try to attack the rim and stuff like that. How about just do what you've done earlier in the year and kind of go back to your roots? If it worked that earlier in the season, well, what worked when you made these shots go in?
Yeah, and you said it worked earlier in the season. It worked out in Lynchburg.
Yeah.
They were able
to
do that.
It worked a month ago.
Exactly. So stay true to your identity. You do want to be better on defense. I think guys are getting beat a bit more, but there's a lot more film out. So that's that for basketball. But another thing, too, I do want to share an important message. My brother-in-law, his name is Aziz. He's on dialysis right now, so he's looking for a kidney donor. So if you know anybody, if you're interested, check out my Twitter. I put the information there, and his Instagram is on there. You can find all the information out there.
Thank you, Sal. Yeah. And big shout out to your brother-in-law. Definitely check out Salmo Nilla on Twitter and X. So that's where you can definitely check that out. So appreciate you, Sal. Appreciate all you guys. We all showed up tonight. It was a great edition of Minor Talk. Liberty defeated UTEP 76-69. That wasn't the best part about it, but it was great to talk about it with all the listeners, all of you here on the program as we wind this one up. That'll do it for us here on the program. For Zay Galindo, for Alberto Retta, for George Rojardo, for Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're presented by Jack in the Box. We'll be back in action next week for another edition of Minor Talk here on 600 ESPN El Paso.